just a wonderful, wonderful Lord's evening as we come together to study another portion of God's holy and divine word. The sermon topic on this evening is entitled, Be Holy Because I Am Holy. Be Holy Because I Am Holy. And the reason I chose this topic, the title for this lesson, is because of a question that was put in the box. The question is, if a father's son was gay, would it be wrong to force him to become straight? If a father's son was gay, would it be wrong to force him to become straight? You know, as I read some of the questions that are put in the box, and you all are privy to them as well, as I read them before you, sometimes we may think that the answer is very simple, and that you do not see why someone would put such a question in the box. Maybe the thoughts of someone. But these questions are questions that many people ponder. And the reason they ponder them is because they do not search the scriptures. Men throughout time have saw fit to live the way they have wanted to live, forgetting what Jesus said, or God said in the very beginning, let us make man in our own image. That image that God is speaking of there is the image of being holy, in the likeness of God, in the likeness of the Son, being holy, being without sin, being someone that could be before Him and be able to commune with Him without worrying about the Father frowning upon Him. Leviticus chapter 20 and the verse is 26. Leviticus chapter 20 and the verse is 26. Be holy because I am holy. We need to think about this, and we need to continue throughout time to press the importance of being Christ-like, being like God. We are created once again in His own image. Leviticus chapter 20 and the verse is 26. You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine. Be holy. When there's a person found to be in sin, it is taught that we should go to them and we should strive to teach them God's way. Men are not born in sin. Men, the Bible teaches us, they are born upright in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and the verse is 29. So yes, a father should stress the importance to a son that has adopted the gay lifestyle, should press the importance of him to come away from that type of life, to do the things that are right. And there's going to be a reason that we're going to see in Scripture that this is the way the father is supposed to teach the son, in order for him to realize that God is displeased with every sinful act that man commits. In the book of 1 Peter, the chapters 1 and the verse is 16. 1 Peter chapter 1 and the verse is 16. Let's read verse 13 coming down. It says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. not only in the book of Leviticus, but also here in 1 Peter. It is said to be holy because he is holy. Who are you and why do you live the way you live? If we are of God, if we are one of his children, we should pick up the scriptures and understand that we cannot live like the world, but we have to live like the example that Christ left us, and that is to be holy. Why, you may ask? Why can't a father talk to his son in a manner to make him see that he is in error? How can a father stress the importance of him giving up the life in which he has chosen to be sin? Why or how can a father do this? Because the fathers are instructed in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 in the verses 4. Ephesians chapter 6 in the verses 4. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Teaching them the right things. Molding them in a fashion that God would be pleased with. That they may fear God. They may reverence him. They may respect him. And they may live their life that people may see them and say, that is a child of God, not a man or a woman of the world. These things are important. But we have to go back and we have to think, how can we as a people, the Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So therefore, men would quickly tell you, how can you tell me how to live when you are yet not doing what you're supposed to do? Well, that's why Paul wrote, the Holy Spirit inspired him to write in the book of Galatians chapter 6 in the verses 1. Galatians chapter 6 in the verses 1. When you find a brother that's overtaken in a fault, he said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself lest ye also be tempted. So the father has every right to stress the importance to the son to come away from saying or acting in a gay manner. You know, the word that he used there in asking that question was the word gay. You know, when we were little children and someone said, that's a gay person over there, all they meant was he's happy. He's joyful. He's enjoying life. But then the word changed through time. Gay. It's just another word for homosexual. That's all it means now. You know, when you somebody say, oh, he's gay, you know, you're like, well, he's not talking about it. He's happy. But then they do. They use that word interchangeably too. He's happy. In Korea, they used to call him happy boys. I'm like, what's a happy boy? They say, you don't want to know. You want to stay away from him. He's a happy boy. I mean, he was gay. He was a homosexual. And I believe that when we look at this and we think about the lifestyle of a homosexual, that we realize again that men were not born this way. It's something that they're taught. They may have gone through life and, you know, everything was good. But then they began to experiment and said, well, you know, I understand what the Bible says. I understand that the scriptures teach that a man should leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife. But what about men being with men? What about little boys being with little boys, or these perverted men that take these little boys, or these perverted women that take these little girls, and then they begin to experiment with them, and then these little children, they grow up and they say, you know, I sort of like that, or my mind is so warped that I think this is the way that it's supposed to be. The Bible has not changed. We need to get them and we need to talk to them and we need to show them in scripture that man is for woman and woman is for man, and if they're to be together, they need to be married. That's what it's all about. Homosexuals, the Bible does not say that they can be married. It says that if a man lays with a man as with a woman, it's a sin. It's an abomination before God. But then the question is asked, this is a good question. Again, I'm going to have to keep going back to the question because I'm going to give you a scripture that's going to show something a little bit different than what I've already said, but it still means the same thing. If a father's son was gay, would it be wrong to force him to become straight? We cannot force anybody to do anything. Why? Because God is not forcing them. In the book of Romans, the chapter is 1. Now, we stress the importance of being holy. We stress the importance of being God-fearing, but we need to understand that God, even at a time, he gave these people up in the book of Romans to a worthless mind, to a debased mind. Why? Because they were doing things that were not right. in Romans chapter 1 and the verses 24. And we would all hope that our children would never turn out to be gay. And I say turn out, that's not how they were born. That's something that they learned, and that's something that they began to do, and that's something that they want to stay with. But we want to stress the importance of coming away from that. But the Bible says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 24, therefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. God gave them up. So what are we to do after we don't stress the importance of you should not live like that, you should not do that, you're not going to do that in my home? The only thing that we can really try to enforce, and I say try because there's not all the time we're going to be in the homes with our children. Sometimes they're going to be there by themselves, and we know when we even told straight kids, they don't have no company over here while I'm gone. You come home and you find, you know, the neighbors are telling them, you know, they had Sally over here, they had Billy over here. They were just having a good time. So if your child is gay and you leave him at home or her at home alone, and they invite their friends over, you know, you don't want that happening in your house, but it's subject to happen. But when you're there, you can monitor those things. But the Bible says God gave them up to the lust of their hearts, to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. He gave them up, for their women exchanged the natural relations to those that are contrary to nature. For the men likewise gave up natural relations for the women, or with women, and consumed with passions for one another, men committing shameless acts, shameless now, with men, and receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. Listen to me, and listen to me very carefully, young people, old people, doesn't matter who you are, how old you are, how young you are. God created man one way and created woman another way. When a man lays with a man and a woman lays with a woman, we need to understand that it's just not going to work. The parts do not fit. So therefore, we need to do what is right, and we need to look at the Bible and say, God created man for woman and woman for man, and when they give up that natural use, they are, or you are, in sin. And he continues in verse 28, and he says, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to the base mind to do what ought not to be done. He gave them up to a worthless mind. The minds are warped. They did not want to acknowledge God. They knew who God was, but they did not want to acknowledge Him. Our children should know who God is. Our children should learn to fear God. Our children should learn to reverence God. Our children should learn that I know who Jesus Christ is, and I need to do the right thing. I need to become one of His children, and I need to live a life that He is pleased with. And when a father tells a son or a mother tells a daughter, you should not do that, and point them to the scriptures and show them why, that child should not question them. That child should accept that, just as many of us have accepted. You know, when you go to school, do you sit there and argue with the teacher? 2 + 2 = 4. 3 + 3 = 6. Do you argue with the teachers on that? Well, why do we want to argue with God's word and say, I don't believe that that's what God meant? Yes, God meant what He said, and He said what He meant. And we look in scriptures, and we need to understand, once again, there in verse 28, the latter part, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's, listen at this, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice these things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. Fathers, mothers, let's teach our children. Let's teach our grandchildren what sin is. And let's teach them that they should not participate in sinful things, because God does not agree with it. God hates every sinful way. And when our children commit sin, again, We don't have to worry about giving account for that sin. That child is going to have to give an account for that sin. Just as when we commit sin, our children does not have to worry about giving account for our sins. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, once again, the question will be asked, why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? Here's the reason why. You say that there's a God and you say that you want to get to heaven come judgment day. Here's the reason why you should not do that. Here's the reason why a father should stress the importance of telling their children not to live a sinful life. And not just being gay, but being a drunkard. Being a whoremonger, being a person that goes out and uses drugs, we should stress the importance not only of one sin, but every sin that a child should not commit, nor an adult should commit. Why? Because if you commit such sins, the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexual immoral, nor the idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such. Because here's the children. Well, mom and dad, I heard the things that you used to do. And that's the reason why some parents let their children run wild, because they say, oh, I remember when I was young. Well, keep remembering when you were young, but remember the things that you were doing were wrong, and you need to teach your children better. Amen. And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. We should not want our children to make the same mistakes we made. We should teach them. Teach them the truth at an early age. Teach them that there's nothing out there in the world for them. And when they obey the gospel at an early age, and then when they get older, they decide, well, I want to go out there and experience those things for myself. Remember, you've taught them. You've taught them the truth. And when they go out there and they see that the world means them no good, but a lot of harm, they will come back, hopefully, before it's everlasting too late. And we need to keep praying for them. And we need to keep, you know, stressing the importance of coming away from those things that are sin. And then we end with this in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 11. For there are many of them will say, well, you know, mom, dad, I know what you told me. But now I'm 18, I'm 19, I'm 20, I'm 21. You can't tell me anything. You know what we do with those children right there? We keep stressing the importance of them doing right. But the Bible says this in the book of Revelation chapter 22 and the verses 11. Revelation chapter 22 and the verses 11. Let the evildoer still do evil, and let the filthy still be filthy, and the righteous still do right, and the holy still be holy. See, there's a time where we just say, okay, you go out there and you make the mistakes that you want to make. And when you finally realize that what you have done is wrong, hopefully it's not too late. Hopefully you have not done too much damage. But remember this, that there will be consequences that will be paid for mistakes that we make in this life. Maybe you have or know someone that is a homosexual. Maybe you are a homosexual. And, you know, this is a lifestyle that you said, you know, I like this lifestyle. And now you have contracted some type of disease that you can't get rid of. You decide, now I don't want to be a homosexual anymore. I want to obey Christ and I want to become a child of God. Just because you obey Christ and become a child of God doesn't mean that disease is going to go away. There's consequences that will be paid, some that you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. But it should not stop you from serving God. And you should be an example to others. And you should be able to set out when you have children and tell them, do not do what I did. Just like a drunk. Or a man that's drinking, he sat there and he tells his child, you should not drink as he's drinking. Or you should not smoke as he's smoking. Or you should not be a homosexual because, you know, look at his life or her life and they are homosexuals. No, we want to do what's right. Ye who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Consider yourself, lest ye also be tempted. See, there's a reason for all of this. And the reason is this, that we know that there is a God. And if you don't know, please get with someone and learn about God. Learn who God is. Learn what God has done for us. And learn how we need to become a child of God and reverence Him and live a life that he is pleased with unto the very end. For we all, not some, but all of us, no matter whether you're in Christ or out of Christ, you will give an account of every deed that you've done in this body, whether good or whether bad. So why not stand before the judgment seat, knowing that you have a place in heaven? Why not? The choice is yours. If you're here tonight and you are in sin, come away from it. Do the things that are right. If you're not a child of God, become one. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Have your sins washed away. Become a child coming up out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. And maybe you are a child of God and you have strayed away from the fold. You have committed some sin that you need to ask for forgiveness for. Do not hesitate to do that. The Bible says if you confess your faults, confess to him, he will forgive you of all unrighteousness. That's the type of God we serve. Amen. He's a loving God. He's a just God. But he's a God that will not put up with sin. Amen. He's not going to allow you to come into heaven by committing sin. There's no big sin. There's no little sin. Sin is sin. Amen. James says, to him to know it to do right and do it not, to him it is sin. If you have committed sin, get it right. If you have continued to be holy, continue to be holy. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.